Hi, kids. This is Mama Maria. I'm so glad we get to have this special little time together today. Is everyone comfy? Do you all feel well? If anybody is sick and not feeling well, or if you have a headache or you have a pain, just raise your hand and the others can all lay hands on you and we'll ask Jesus to help you. Dear Jesus, you promised that if we're sick, we can come to you and you'll fix us. You said that as we call on the keys of healing, we can have relief from small or big pains. You promised that you are the God that heals us. Well, children, Jesus wants me to give you a special message. Are you ready? Jesus wants you to know that you can make a difference. You're each very special to Jesus. When you were up in heaven, he asked you if you would come to earth for a special mission, and each one of you said yes. Now, maybe you're thinking that you have to wait until you're grown up, or at least until you're a teen, to do great things for the Lord and make a difference. You might think that until then, you can do some little things, but nothing that really matters a whole lot. But today I'm going to tell you some stories about kids your age who did little things, and those little things made a big, big difference. Now, when I say make a difference, do you know what that means? It means that you are important and that you can make things better by doing your part. By doing what you can and what Jesus shows you to do with all your heart. Even though you're young, you have an important job for Jesus already. Did you know that praying or smiling or singing or quoting your verses are all very important? Jesus made you the age and the way you are for this time, because he needs you just as you are right now for the job he has for you today. I want you to be encouraged that it doesn't take a lot to make a really big difference. You can change people's lives, you can encourage them, you can help them to know Jesus, and you can pray for their healing. And all of you are doing those things when you are obedient to what the Lord tells you to do. When you show his love when you go out witnessing, when you sing and perform and show people that there is someone, Jesus, who really loves them. Did you know that some people have never known real love? So when they hear that Jesus loves them, it's hard for them to believe, and sometimes they won't accept it. But when a child like you shows them love and respect and consideration, they can't deny that Jesus loves them. Do you know the verse, "A little child shall lead them"? Even if the ways you change the world are little ways, it all helps with the big job that Jesus has given us to do of telling everybody about him and his love. Not everyone will listen, and not everyone will open their heart to Jesus, but we have to give them all a chance. And that's really a big job. So we need each of you to help us with it. So thanks for changing the world, kids, one heart at a time. You're world changers, and you're doing great, and I'm very proud of you. So now here are the stories about kids just like you who did the little part that they could do, praying or smiling or witnessing in little ways, and the Lord used them to change their part of the world. This first story is about a boy named Jesse. Jesse was about 10 years old. He wasn't in the family, but he knew Jesus, and his parents were missionaries too. And they had taught him about how important it was to witness to others and tell them about Jesus' love. So one day, while he and his sisters were playing at a park, some new kids came to play there. Jesse and his sisters were happy for some company and started to play games with the new children and make friends with them. Jesse noticed that one of the boys kept sitting down on a park bench. So Jesse decided he would go and sit down with the boy too. Jesse thought of the verses, "Love your neighbor as yourself, and preach the gospel to every creature." He knew that the best way to show love to someone was to give them Jesus' love. And he just felt in his heart that he should tell Joey about Jesus. Now, Jesse was shy, just like some of you are. It didn't come so naturally for him to be a bold witness. He liked to talk and play with other kids, but somehow when it came to witnessing to them, sometimes he felt shy. But Jesse knew that it was important to talk to Joey, and it was a good opportunity because they were both sitting there on the bench together. Jesse said, "Hi, I'm Jesse. What's your name?" "I'm Joey," the boy replied. Jesse said, "I'm glad you came. It's nice to have some more guys to play with. It's nice to make new friends." Joey responded, "But sometimes they get mad at you and they're not your friend anymore." Jesse felt Jesus telling him to say, "Yes, that's true. But I've got this friend. In fact, he's my best friend, and he never gets mad at me. He's always around when I need him, and he cheers me up when things aren't going so good. He's so cool that it's easy to talk to him, and I can tell him anything." Joey said, "I wish I had a friend like that. You mean he doesn't get mad at you when you say the wrong thing or act stupid or anything? Where is he? You said he's always around. Is he here?" Joey looked around to see where this friend could be. Jesse said, "He's right here. He's in my heart. He can be your best friend, too." Just then, Joey's brother called, "Come on, Joey. Time to go home now." Jesse almost decided he'd have to wait until later for Joey to receive Jesus. But then he thought, "No, this is important, and we'd better do it now." "We're coming. Just a minute," Jesse called. "Joey, before you go, you can ask Jesus into your heart. It'll only take a minute. Do you want to?" "Okay," Joey replied. "Just say this prayer after me." Jesse said, "Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for all the bad things that I've done. Thank you for being God's son and for loving me so much that you died for me so that I can go to heaven someday. Please come into my heart and be my special friend for always." Jesse was so happy that he'd won a soul for heaven, but little did he know how important it was. The next day, Jesse went on a trip with his parents. So he didn't get to go back to the park for about a week. When he and his sisters went back to the park, Joey's brothers were there, but not Joey. Jesse asked about Joey and found out that Joey was very sick in the hospital. He had a serious illness, and that's why he didn't have much energy to play, and he would sit down and rest a lot. Jesse never saw Joey again in the park because Joey was never well enough. And soon after that, Jesus took Joey home to heaven. That's when Jesse was really glad that he had made the decision to pray with Joey to receive Jesus and hadn't waited for another day. Jesse hadn't known it at the time, but when the Lord was speaking to his heart and asking him to tell Joey about Jesus, that was a very special opportunity because it was the last time that Jesse saw Joey. About a year later, Jesse went home to be with Jesus too. And when he got to heaven, guess who greeted him? Yes, you're right. Besides Jesus and some other loved ones, it was Joey, who was so happy and thankful that Jesse had been bold and brave enough to overcome his shyness and to give Joey the gift of salvation. That's just one story, but there are so many more stories like that about how obeying those little nudges the Lord puts in your heart are so important. Sometimes we don't realize how important it is to obey the Lord right away, but sometimes it's our last chance to do that special thing so that everything can work out the way the Lord wants it to. And that reminds me of another story about witnessing in the park. This one is about Bobby and his younger brother, Steve. Bobby loved witnessing, but some days it seemed to be kind of slow. While their parents were witnessing to some older people in the park, Bobby and Steve had tried to talk to 4 or 5 kids Bobby's age, but their friends kept calling them back to play with them. Bobby was wondering what was wrong. "Jesus, I'm trying, but it just doesn't seem to be working. What's wrong?" "Have you let me show you who needs me the most?" Jesus whispered to Bobby's heart. "But I tried all the kids my age already." "You didn't talk to that boy over there," Jesus said, directing Bobby's attention to a boy several years older than Bobby, playing alone in one corner of the playground. "But he's a lot older. I can't talk to him," Bobby said.
"He needs me too, Bobby," Jesus said. "Won't you give it a try?"
Bobby, with his little brother tagging along, walked nervously over to the older boy.
"Hi, I'm Bobby. How come you're playing over here by yourself?"
"Oh, my younger brother is sick, and I always come here with him. It's really boring by myself, though," Ben said, sitting down on the edge of the sidewalk.
"What's he sick with?" Bobby asked.
"I don't know. It's nothing contagious or anything, but my mom took him to the hospital last night."
"You're new around here, huh?"
Ben asked, realizing that he'd never seen these kids with the happy faces before.
"Yeah, my brother and I and our parents are here for the day."
"Are you worried about your little brother?" Bobby asked.
"Kind of. I don't know what I'm supposed to do."
Bobby could understand the look on Ben's face. He had 4 brothers, and whenever one was sick or had an accident, he wanted to do something to help, but he usually didn't know what to do. But then he remembered there was something he could do, and maybe he could show Ben how to do it too.
"Hey, I know how you feel. I have 4 brothers, and when one of them gets sick or hurt, I feel like I should be doing something to help."
"Yeah, I just feel so useless right now," Ben said. Bobby said, "Well, my parents taught me there was something, I mean someone, really, who can help. He can help you do something to help your brother."
"Really? How?"
Ben sat up straight, interested in what he could do.
"Well, first thing, you have to ask someone into your heart, and then I can show you how he can help you and help your brother."
"Okay, how do I do it?" Ben said eagerly.
Bobby replied, "Just repeat after me this little prayer." After Bobby had led Ben in the salvation prayer, he was so happy because he knew that he had made a difference. Not only did Ben have Jesus in his heart, but Ben would be able to help his brother by asking Jesus to heal him.
See, it's not so hard to make a big difference in someone's life. It will make them happy, and it will help them to help others.
Here's another story. This one is about a boy named Rob. He was 8 or 9 years old when this story happened. He didn't have a dad, as his dad had left when he was really young. He missed having a dad, and sometimes he would ask Jesus to send him a dad. Jesus would tell him, "Pray for the dads." At first, Rob thought that meant that he should pray for someone to come and be his dad. One day, a salesman came to the door and wanted to demonstrate how a new vacuum cleaner worked. Rob talked to the salesman for a few minutes, and even though the salesman wasn't Rob's dad, he was someone's dad, and Rob liked having that conversation with him. From then on, Jesus told Rob to talk to all the dads he could and try to encourage them. Rob would say, "God loves you," or "Jesus loves you." When Rob would say that, it made people so happy to be noticed, to have a child say to them, "God loves you." One man told him, "That's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me." One day, a man showed Rob a photo of his little boy who was sick.
The Lord showed Rob to pray for the little boy right then. So Rob told the man, "Please don't worry. Jesus can heal anything because the Bible says so." Rob prayed, and the man was so thankful for the prayer and encouragement that he started crying and said, "I see that prayer is important, and I'm going to start praying more." Rob realized that even though these were very little things, just saying "God bless you" or "Jesus loves you" or praying a little prayer, they really do make a difference in people's lives. Some people hadn't even realized that God loved them until Rob told them that he did. So that's how Rob's job of praying for the dads got started. Now he prays for all the dads he can find, and now he understands what the Lord told him to do when he said, "Pray for the dads." Sometimes Rob prays for them when he's with them, like he did for the man whose little boy was sick. And sometimes he just prays for them privately at home. Now he tells people, "God loves you, and I'm praying for you." But the Lord told him he should only tell people that if he's really going to pray for them. So he keeps a little list of all the dads he meets that he wants to pray for. Isn't that a good idea? Maybe you'll want to do that for those you pray for, too. And even though Rob doesn't have a dad who lives with him, he has really good friends who are like dads who do things together with him. He doesn't feel sad anymore because he has so many dads to pray for and talk to. And most of all, Jesus is proud of him for being such a prayer warrior and helping so many people. You see, the Lord wants to encourage all you children that there is a lot that you can do to give his love to others. Even if you're shy, even if you don't go out a lot, you can say sweet things to people in your home. You can smile and encourage people with little words, even as simple as, "Jesus loves you, I love you." "You have a nice smile." "You made a nice meal." Another thing you can do is pray. You don't have to be older. You don't have to have a lot of experience. You don't have to be super talented. With just a little love and the power of prayer, you can change lives and make a huge difference. Here's another story about that. This little girl's name is Kathy. She lived on a farm. Her father was a farmer, and he needed someone to come and help them on the farm. So he hired a man named George. Kathy didn't like George. He was gruff, and he talked disrespectfully to Kathy's dad, and Kathy was a little bit scared of him. Her dad told her, "Don't worry, honey. George doesn't have a loving family like you do, and he needs God to touch his heart in a special way." So guess what Kathy did? Kathy started to pray for George. The Lord showed her to go up on this little hill near their house and kneel down so that it was obvious she was praying, and pray for George. From where George and her dad worked in the fields, they could see Kathy when she prayed on the hill. And every day, Kathy went to the hill and prayed for George for a few minutes. The other thing the Lord told Kathy to do was to be really nice to George. Like, sometimes when he and her dad were working in the fields, she would bring them both a glass of cold water or a snack. For a while, George didn't change at all and didn't get any nicer. But one day, when Kathy was on the hill praying, George walked up and asked, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" "Sure," Kathy replied. "Kathy, I've done a lot of bad things in my life, and I want to change. You see, my parents died when I was a boy. I should have asked Jesus to help me, but instead I began to think that Jesus didn't love me, and no one else did either. I know it was wrong to do, but I got angry at Jesus and almost everyone else. When I saw how happy you and your family were, I should have wanted to be a part of that happiness. But instead, I made the wrong choice,
and decided that I wanted to hurt you and your family. I even thought about burning down your house. I was so angry at God. But each time I thought about doing that, I saw a picture in my mind of you kneeling here on the hill and praying. I remembered all the times when you brought me water or a snack, and I just couldn't do anything to hurt you and your parents. I'm really sorry for being angry and wanting to hurt everyone. Can you possibly forgive me? Yes, I will, George, and Jesus will forgive you too. We can ask him right now. You can just say after me, Jesus, please forgive me for being bad and angry and for wanting to hurt people. Please come into my heart and cleanse me from my sins and make me a new person. Help me to love you and others. Amen. After George had received Jesus, he became a different person, happy and loving and wanting to help people instead of hurt them. Kathy and her family were so happy, and George started to come and eat dinner with them and became part of their family. Can you imagine how sad it would have been if George had burned down the house, or if he hadn't had a change of heart and had lived the rest of his life as an angry, sad man? The Lord used Kathy's prayers and her little acts of love to change his heart and work a very big miracle. Sometimes we think of miracles like when Jesus fed the 5,000 or raised the dead, or when someone is healed of a serious illness, and we think that those must be the biggest miracles. But really, the biggest miracle is when Jesus rescues someone's heart and life and they have a big change, because that's something that's going to last forever. That's what makes all the angels in heaven sing and shout for joy and call a celebration. And you help Jesus do that miracle, kids, through your love and through your prayers. That's why he needs you, to go and tell them about him and give them a chance to believe. Now here's another little story about a smiling girl. Her name is Tracy. Tracy got sick and she had to go to the hospital. Tracy loved Jesus very much, and she knew many Bible stories and verses. Tracy had to stay in the hospital for a long time, but you know what? Jesus did a special thing for her. He would come to Tracy's hospital room, and he would sit down in the chair next to her bed. He would talk to her, and he would tell her stories, and he would encourage her to hang on and be brave. He would tell her many wonderful things about heaven. One day when Jesus was talking to Tracy, he told her, "Tracy, honey, you just keep smiling and keep telling others about me. Tell the doctors and the nurses and anybody else you see. Will you do that for me?" Tracy told Jesus that of course she wanted to do that for him because she loved him so much. So even though it was difficult being in the hospital so long and not being able to go out and play or go witnessing or do things other children did, she just tried to keep smiling, and she told everyone she saw that she loved Jesus and had him in her heart, and that they could love Jesus too. Pretty soon people started calling her the smiling girl who loves Jesus. Tracy made a big difference in the hospital, because through her and her smiles, many people began to think more about Jesus, and eventually they came to know him too and were saved. Kids, you have no idea how far your love can go. Love just goes on and on and on and gathers steam and momentum and rolls and gathers more and more power until it becomes a never-ending explosion of salvation of many souls. In this case, that happened just from the smiles of a little girl. So you never know how important your smiles are, so you should smile at as many people as you can, as often as you can. That's how you can make a difference, just like Tracy did. And don't forget to tell them why you're smiling, that it's because you have Jesus in your heart and he makes you happy. And here's one more story.
This is a story about an angel on a box and a girl named Katrina. Katrina lived in Russia at a time when there were very great troubles. People didn't have much to eat. Katrina was only 7 years old when a miracle took place in her life. Katrina and her family were Christians, and many people in Russia did not like the Christians. Bad men would sometimes come to Katrina's house in search of food, and when they had found it, they would take it for themselves. However, Jesus always managed to supply for Katrina and her parents somehow. One Christmas, Jesus had provided potatoes and beets and lots of good meat, which Katrina and her parents were going to share with the others in their little village. However, the bad people heard about the food that Katrina's family had, and soon they were knocking on the door demanding to come in and find it. Katrina's father had a large wooden box where he had stored the food. They didn't have a refrigerator like most of us do, but it was cold enough inside the house that the food would never spoil in the big box. This big box where Katrina's father had stored the food was also her seat at the table. So when the pounding at the door happened, Katrina realized that maybe that wonderful food that Jesus had supplied for them was going to be taken by the bad men. So guess what she did? She prayed really hard. "Jesus, we really need our food. Please don't let the bad men take it." Then Jesus' small voice in Katrina's head told her to get up on the box and spread her big skirt that she wore, that kept her legs warm in the cold winter months, as wide as she could over the box, and not to move, but instead to stay sitting on the box. As the men entered the room, Katrina wanted to scowl at them and show them how angry she was that they had come to take her food. But Jesus' gentle voice inside told her, "Smile, honey. Look straight into their eyes and smile at them." Katrina certainly didn't feel like it, but she obeyed. There was one man who stayed there in the room while the others went into the rest of the house searching for the food. Katrina kept smiling at him and looking him straight in the eyes. When Katrina smiled at him, he became nervous, and he kept trying to avoid looking at her. But he did keep looking at her, as though he couldn't help it. The more he looked at her, the more nervous he seemed to get, until he finally called all the other men back and told them not to worry about the food, but just, "Let's get out of here." Katrina and her parents were so happy. Jesus had answered their desperate prayers, and the Christmas dinner they had was the best they had eaten in a long time. Thank you, Jesus. What a miracle. Katrina and her parents didn't find out until much later why the men had suddenly stopped looking for the food and had left. It wasn't until years later that the man who had been in charge came back to Katrina's house and told Katrina's parents what had happened. Do you want to hear what he said? He told Katrina's father, "When we came to your house that night, I saw your little girl sitting on a wooden box. I was surprised that she was smiling at me, but I was even more surprised that as I kept looking at her, I saw a pair of wings right behind her. The more that I looked at her, the more I saw an angel sitting on that box. I thought I was going crazy, but I couldn't help but keep looking at that angel until finally I couldn't stand it, and I ordered my men out of the house. I thought about that angel on the box for so many years, and I finally had to come and beg your forgiveness." Katrina's father forgave the man and taught him about Jesus. The man received Jesus into his heart and gave the rest of his life to telling people about the Lord and how an angel had saved a Christmas dinner in answer to a little girl's prayer, and had saved him also many years later. Isn't that a thrilling story of how a little girl made a difference because she prayed and she did what Jesus told her to do? Think of the wonderful things that were accomplished. She and her parents had a wonderful Christmas dinner. They were able to share the food with the other people in their little village. And the man was so amazed at the miracle of the angel that he never forgot it and came back later and got saved. Katrina made a big difference because she did what Jesus showed her to do. So children, don't ever get discouraged with the little things you do. Even if you don't always see big dramatic results, that doesn't mean that you're not making a difference. A lot of the things we do, we'll never see what good it did until we get to heaven. But in heaven, when the Lord turns on the big heavenly TV and we see our whole lives and how our actions and our obedience affected people, we'll be so happy for the times that we were loving and obedient. And so many other people will be happy and thankful too. We can't be perfect, and we all do things sometimes that are wrong or selfish or shy. But what we can do is tell Jesus that we want to make a difference. We want to do something for him, and we can ask him what to do in each situation to make it better. If you do that, you will make the biggest difference possible. Now, here's something that's a little different. It's not a story, but it's something from Becky, a child in the family, one very much like you, that I want to share with all of you. Becky wants to tell you how she makes a difference.
Hi, I'm Becky. I don't mind being little because little is much if God is in it. I have God in me. Isn't that funny how God works? He often uses little people to do great things for him. I know God uses me if I just go ahead and obey what he says to do. I don't think it's anything important at the time, but then I find out later that it made a difference. All my life I've heard about Jesus and how he went everywhere doing good and giving love to people. I've been taught to be kind, to think of others, and to give lots of love wherever I go. I like doing that. When I am loving to someone, when I smile at them, or say something nice, or give them a hug, their face just lights up and they are so nice and sweet afterwards. I go out witnessing with my daddy, and when we meet people, my daddy shakes their hand and then he introduces me and I smile big and bright so that they'll see the Lord's love for them. What I do is just normal, nothing special. All the others in the home do the same things as me when they go out. It's probably just the same as you do. Isn't it nice to see how people really get so sweet and nice after you smile at them? First you walk into the store and they're sitting behind the desk looking at the paper with the biggest frown and saddest sack face. That's what my daddy says about them. I don't know why he says that they have a sad sack face. I guess he means that they are all gloomy and sad, like a sack must feel when it's real heavy and a burden to everyone. My daddy says, until we show them God's love, they're basically a burden and a weight to everyone that they meet. As soon as we can get them to smile and receive Jesus, they can stop being a burden and start helping someone. So I show them lots of love by smiling and shaking their hand, or giving them a hug when it's possible. I help a lot with the witnessing and tooling, because when I go, people are changed and their face is brighter. Then I show them the tapes and the activated mags and get them to read them and understand what they mean. Then they give something to help our work and we get out lots of tools. My daddy says that I'm a shiner in our area. Well, my daddy is. But he said it is because I help and I am so nice to people. I'm just a little girl and I can't do much to explain about all the songs on the CD. I think that when I speak to people, it is nothing special and just like I speak in the home with the other kids. My daddy says that if I just love people and smile, it doesn't matter what I say or whether I think it is silly or not. If I just get out of myself and think about others, then all they see is Jesus shining through. Jesus says that every time I open my mouth to speak, he will be there and say things through me to the people that we are witnessing to. Even though it doesn't sound like much to me, Jesus says he'll use it to tell people exactly what they need to hear. He says he can change their lives through what I say to them. Sometimes I sing a song. Sometimes I quote a verse that I memorized. Jesus says that whether the verse is about faith or a job or an end-time verse, it could be the key to that person's heart, and if I'm willing to say what comes to me, many souls can be saved. One of the verses that I learned was, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So I am being a good sample of one of Jesus' disciples by the love that I show people that my daddy is witnessing to. Sometimes I don't feel much like being a good sample. Sometimes I want to stay home and play with toys or go to the park, but I know I can make Jesus happy when I make other people happy. I know that Jesus likes it when we witness. I'm glad that I can make him happy. I guess that I can play anytime, but when there is someone who doesn't have Jesus and is really going through it, I'm glad that I can help them to receive him. Maybe that's the only day we can see them. Like when Jesus told about the one lost sheep that was out in the storm. The shepherd could have stayed in his nice, safe, dry house instead of going out to find the lost sheep. Jesus does that for all of his lost sheep in the world. There are so many of them, and he uses little me if I'm willing. I make Jesus happy by obeying and witnessing, even when I don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't feel like it really makes much of a difference, or I feel that someone else could witness much better than me. But he can still use me if I let him. Jesus told me to tell you this. He can use me, and he can use you. And you know something else? Those people that you make happy will make other people smile and spread happiness to even more people, till maybe there won't be any more lost sheep in the whole wide world anymore. Jesus says that all the little good things that we do for others really do make a difference in people's lives, and it's all part of bringing his heaven on earth. My daddy says that we can really help to win souls and inspire people to give their lives to Jesus. Just by showing a little love, we can help them open their heart to Jesus if we're a good sample and if we think of others. We can think of how we can say things that inspire them and that give them hope. Sometimes maybe you really don't want to go out and witness, but if you go out because you love Jesus and because you want people to hear about him, Jesus will shine through you. I can't wait to go out witnessing again. I hope we can win lots of souls. If you can't go out today, or if you can't go out for a long time, you can pray for the ones that are out. Jesus says that it doesn't matter how little you are. Your fervent prayers can do mighty things. Pray, witness, love, and be a good sample for Jesus. I love you. Bye-bye.
Wasn't it fun hearing from Becky? Shall we ask Jesus to help you make a difference too? Dear Jesus, please give each of your children faith and conviction that they can do great things for you too, that they can make a difference if they just obey and give your love to others. You can help them learn to recognize the opportunities where they can fill a special need. And many times, it's a need that only they can fill, because our children are special. There's no one else in the whole world that can do the job that you've asked them to do. I claim the keys of spiritual eyes for them, that they can learn to see the need as you see it, and thus know just how to fill it. Thank you for them, Jesus. Thank you for giving us such wonderful friends and helpers and witnesses and encouragers in our precious children. We need them so much, and I praise you and thank you for them. Thank you for all that they already do for you, as well as all that they will go on to do for you. I can only imagine all the souls that will come rushing up to them
as they each walk through the gates of the heavenly city, so many people who are thankful for your love that they receive through them. Please strengthen them and help them to grow strong for you, strong in your word, and strong in your love. I love you, sweet ones. Peter sends his love too. We wish we could see all of you and be there with you and give you lots of hugs and kisses. Close your eyes, and you'll see me and Peter blowing you kisses. Now you blow us kisses, and I'll close my eyes and get them. Those are so nice. I love you so much, and I'm so proud of you. And even better than that, Jesus is proud of you. Thanks for being so wonderful. I love you. Bye-bye.